In your Bible, please, once again, we are at the first chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Our attention over the last several weeks has been on verses 19 and 20. We began this study back in May of 2022. And we have arrived at this portion of this epistle that addresses boldness. Paul's in prison, as you know. He's been in Roman prison, actually a hired home, chained to an elite praetorium guard, a palace guard, a personal guard of Caesar. He's been chained to this Roman soldier for a year plus. It's 61 AD. He is addressing this church that was the first church to be founded on the European continent. And they have a very special place in his heart. Because from the very beginning, and that beginning you remember, was in a prayer meeting just outside the city, and Lydia and then her household came to saving faith. And then in prison, the jailer and his household come to saving faith, and the church of Jesus Christ is established in Philippi. And from that moment on, they are partners with Christ, with Paul in preaching Christ. And they have continued to do that up until this very point. It's been 11 years. And he is thankful for them. In fact, he's overjoyed. And 19 times he speaks of this joy that he has for them and the gospel going forth. Gospel mentioned 9 times in this epistle. But he desires, as he has prayed in the first Roman imprisonment, his first year with the church at Ephesus, to be a bold testimony for Christ. In chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he has a confidence that he's going to be released from prison because of their prayers and the Spirit of God working. But he desires that whether or not this happens, but he has confidence that it will, that he will continue, as he has in the past, to be bold. This took us to Ephesians in the 6th chapter, where he's bringing to a close that letter. And again, he asks for specific prayer for himself to continue bold, to be able to boldly persevere, to be able to boldly proclaim Christ, to continue to be bold and to prevail. And he uses in this epistle that we have been looking at, Ephesians chapter 6, the imagery of warfare. Because it is true that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare here and now. And being chained to this elite soldier, this Roman soldier, he uses the imagery of the soldier's armament. We have referred to this armament as the panoply of protection. The reason we do that is the word here when Paul says, put on the whole armor, the whole provision that God has given to protect you, the panoply. And we have looked at each piece of this armament and continued to do that even this morning. This panoply of protection is first the protection of truth. Gird up your loins, pull together and hold in place that which will protect you in this spiritual warfare. The devil and his demons are engaged in trying to destroy, as has always been his desire, the effectiveness of the truth concerning God's redemption in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth. The truth is a revelation. The truth is not anything that can be reasoned out. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And we live in a world that has made truth relative. Remember Pilate. What is truth? Far as I know, truth is whatever I want to make it. We are living in a world that is without truth. Without truth. Without truth. It's a world of the lie. The only truth is the truth found in God's revelation from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. There is absolutely no truth apart from what God has revealed in himself through his Son for us. For every minute that you and I spend listening to, viewing the mass media, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox, Twitter, Facebook. For every minute that we allow ourselves to be exposed to all of this, whether it be in our thinking, conservative, liberal, all of it is the mass media for murder. It has no other purpose because all of it views this world as something that man can do in himself something about. The reality is God, and he alone is in control. And he alone has revealed how this world that he has created is moving. It's in perfect sequence, order, as he has foreordained. All of the mass media has accomplished its purpose. Fear. Anxiety. A focus on the here and now. That is not the truth. What is here and now has to be understood in the there and then. What God has done, is doing, and is yet to do. The truth. If we are to be of any effect and praise to God, we must have the truth holding us together. We must be absolutely dependent on what God has revealed. Or else, the lie will bring the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the confusion, the chaos that is the very way in which the devil and his demons are working. Gird your loins with the truth. Put on the breastplate, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that positional righteousness that we have because he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our identification is with him. In his righteousness we stand. And we know, John tells us, that he is righteous. And those who practice righteousness are born of him. We have a positional righteousness and a practical righteousness that is on display. The righteousness, the breastplate, as we engage the enemy. Having your feet shod, prepared, firmly placed on the gospel of peace, the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Was buried. Third day he arose from the dead, according to the scriptures. Paul calls this the gospel of God in Romans. The gospel of his Son. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of our salvation. The gospel of peace. The gospel. The grace of God. And in addition to all of this, take the shield of faith. Turn with me, for we did not in our previous studies get to. That happens sometimes if you've been with us. We don't always get to where I would like us to get in any given study. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory, dominion, forever and ever. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Take the shield of faith. Because in this world, the wicked one is firing his wickedness, his barbs, his arrows of wickedness all the time toward us. We are suffering in this world. But that is not the end. We realize that this is part of God's plan. For we have overcome him and the world in which he holds sway. He dominates this world. And he drives this world where he wants it to go through his demonic activity. That brings us this morning to the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. I'll read from verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench, eliminate, negate the effectiveness, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take, not as one reaches out and just grabs to take hold of, but take as one would receive a gift. For truly, our salvation is the gift of God, not of anyone should boast. And take the helmet of salvation. Come on over to 1 Thessalonians. Reading from chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, they sleep at night. And those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, also referenced by Paul, the breastplate of righteousness. It's all of God. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and build each other up, just as you are also doing. A helmet. It's a helmet that covers the head, and it's a helmet of the hope, which is the assurance of what is yet to be fully experienced of salvation. Remember our Lord's ministry, John chapter 3. Early on, he meets with a Pharisee, Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." This Pharisee totally missed the purpose of the signs that he was performing. John, at the end of his gospel, his good news, says, "Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through him." That's the purpose of the signs, that they might point to the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. And of course, we know Nicodemus missed the whole purpose for which Jesus has come. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born anew, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the natural birth, that which is being born of the water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew, again, above, from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It's a mystery known only by God." New birth. The natural must give way to the spiritual. The new, the birth from above. "How can these things be?" Nicodemus says. Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher?" He was not just some teacher. "Are you the teacher, the one recognized as the one who really is leading Israel to truth? Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. We know that his witness was that of what he performed and the witness of the Father, recognizing and acknowledging that he was his Son. But also those who were following him, a witness of the disciples and he, the witness of himself and the Father. I have told you earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who was in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so was the Son of Man, his identification with us, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's several days after Pentecost, the birth of the church, which Jesus said he was going to build, a body of believers, Jew and Gentile, that was brought forth on the day of Pentecost. Several days after that, Peter performs a healing miracle. A lame man is given the ability to walk. It causes a ruckus, a riot. And the disciples are brought before the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, to give account of what they are doing, what's going on. And Peter says, since it's obvious that we're here before you because of this good deed that was done to this man, let me tell you how it happened. We didn't do it. This man stands before you whole, well, in the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. And now there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Romans chapter 1. Paul was desiring, but as yet had not been able to personally get to Rome. There were those who were saying that's because he's scared to go to Rome because he knows what might happen. He's a phony. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the good news that is the power of God unto salvation. Chapter 5. I mentioned to you earlier We were singing a spiritual song this morning. We didn't find a friend. He, God, our Savior, found us. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, perhaps, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God openly put on display. God demonstrates his love. He opened up his heart toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been declared right before God, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, hostile, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, now, one, everything right, we shall be saved by his life. He died for our sins, but he rose from the dead in order to give his life for us and impart his life to us. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have received this reconciliation. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made, declared, and thus be the righteousness of God in him. Not submitting to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For everyone who believes, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. It mandates you obey, and you fail. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring the anointed, the Christ, down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Stop trying to do what God has already done. Trust. Don't try. He's already accomplished what is necessary. He sent his Son, died for our sins, raised him up from the dead. This word we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made concerning salvation. You remember, Paul in that Philippian jail? Silas, they're really discouraged. They're really downtrodden. Oh, really? praising God and praying. And as I've mentioned before, the first rock concert was there. The foundation of that prison was shaking. Prison doors are opened up. The jailer, realizing that if they escaped, it's his life, he's about to commit suicide. And Paul says, whoa, we're still here. He rushes in. He hasn't been able to sleep, nor has anyone else in that prison, because there's a prayer and praise meeting going on that God responds to in shaking the very foundation of that prison. And he rushes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, let me give you 10 suggestions as to if you do these things, it may... Is that what he said? Believe. That's it. Repentance is not something in and of itself. It's in the act of faith. The confession from the mouth is that which gives a declaration of what faith brings. It doesn't bring salvation. If you believe, you shall be saved. And he shared with him and his family that good news, message of salvation. Whoever believes on him, back there, Romans 10, shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, Gentile. For the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to pray a prayer. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to walk an aisle. It's a matter of the heart, taking God at what he has said is what he has done for you in his Son. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Reading from verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved, beloved by the Lord. Because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through the sanctification by his Spirit. No one can come to the Father, except he draw him. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, of drawing one to God through conviction of sin and carrying to faith in the sin bearer. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have taught, whether by word or by epistle. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born of the Spirit, born anew, born from above, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, yet to be fully experienced, ready to be revealed in the last time, a salvation that takes place the moment one believes. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has given to us all that he has for us, his children. But yet, there is so much more yet to be revealed when we leave these bodies and enter into that experience with him for eternity, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various tests, trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested, dokimazo, put to the test, knowing that it's going to stand the test and show itself approved, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He crowned that masterpiece of creation with man, mankind. Let us, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our own image. Let us make him in our own likeness. The image of man is his existence. But his existence is unique from any other part of creation. He breathed the breath of life into Adam, making him in his image. The existence of man is eternal. God is eternal. Out from within himself, he made all things, and it's all been made unto himself. He now puts at the pinnacle of creation man, and he is created in his image with eternal life. He will live forever. He has a soul. But in his likeness, not only does he exist eternally, he has an essence of God that is his uniquely. He's been given an intellect, as God is a God who has an intellect. He's revealed himself. He's been given him a will to choose. He's given to him the ability
to feel, to experience an emotion, the very essence of God's character is in us. He made man from the dust, body, soul, spirit. Soul and spirit, sometimes in the scriptures, used interchangeably. Here, the emphasis that Peter is making is on this magnificent, spiritual, non-material man. His soul is saved. We're in a wicked world. God has provided everything we need. A panoply of protection against the devil who dominates this world and is driving it to destruction through the demons of darkness. But we are in boldness in the power of his might, able to stand. Having on the panoply of God. This world would continue to want you to doubt. This world is doing everything to say, it ain't true what the Bible says. But our head is crowned with salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. The wrath of God abides. I write these things to you, John says, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the helmet of salvation. Thank you, Lord, once again, for the opportunity that you have provided for us to be here, guided by your Spirit, in accordance with truth, to worship you. For you alone are worthy. You alone are deserving. For you alone are Almighty God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.